Tara Mahadevan.
Evan Coble.
Look, we're back in the spaceship.
I know. Hasn't it been a month?
It's been, we've been, well, because...
I mean, not that y'all haven't been getting these episodes.
No, no, no. Stay consistent with right. the content. But we have been, we are at our year. We're in kind of now into our second year. We did a big pop-up at Emporium, of course. And so we've been gone. We've been gone from our home base at WGN Radio.
Yep.
It's good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
We return triumphant with an incredible musician, producer, dancer, songwriter. I think someone who, you know, you really could make the case for certainly one of the top albums of 2018, easy. We're still tripping. In the corner store this evening, DJ Tay.
Yo, what it is.
Welcome, man. Thanks for being here.
Thank y'all for having me.
Of course. You know, we're excited to chop it up with you. And before we do, we have some snacks for you in the corner store. We want to welcome you with some snacks. Max, who is the
snack tour
of the corner store.
Yeah, you like rap tour.
Like rap tour. Yeah. Yeah.
our previous snack tour was a snacktress.
Yeah.
Because it was a girl.
Well, but look, hey, look, as Safia El-Hillo says, gender is a galaxy. So we have, of course, you're already, you know, sipping off the stolen whiskey with a nice
stolen.
Beverage. Our spirit sponsor. We also have for you, Max has secured some Flamin' Hot Munchy snack mix for you. That includes, of course, multiple chips. You know what it is, Max, if you don't mind.
Oh, I wanted you to read every chip.
I almost did.
I know.
I almost did. We also have, Max has also secured some Frosted S'mores Pop-Tarts for you this evening.
Wow.
It's a whole,
okay.
It's also
that's
like
actually the whole, like the whole box.
Like he got you breakfast for the next week if you eat that kind of breakfast. And also some No Pulp Tropicana Pure Premium Orange Juice.
True. You always need the vitamin C in your life.
So. Yeah, with the marshmallows, evidently.
So these munchies got Doritos and Cheetos and Sun Chips and Rose Golds and Flamin' Hots.
Have you ever had those, actually?
Yeah, I had them before. I wish there was, like, Crunchy Curl munchies. Like, I wish they made those. I wish Vintners would get in the business. Like.
That's true. They should. Yeah, well, because they kind of, Vintners and Frito-Lay, is, they stay at each other a little bit.
Vintners, they be at each other neck. It's like right. gang competition.
Is Vintner local?
Yeah, I think so. You
Blaze
know?
Is not local.
No. Yeah. We should get that Vintner sponsorship. Really.
True.
But DJ Tay, welcome, man. And we want to go back and go forward and talk about certainly your album and your life. So if we can begin just with a understanding of where you come from.
So I come from the southeast side of the city, but born there, more so raised in the south suburbs, Calumet City and Harvey.
True. And just to dispel a myth, Chicago certainly does have an east side, right? I mean, this is something that I think when you tell people who are either not from here or even people who are here and you rep east side, southeast side, people like, oh, that's in the lake.
Right.
Where specifically? And what was it like kind of coming from not only the south subs, but the southeast side specifically?
I used to play basketball. Actually, my dad used to coach for the Southeast Little League. And I mean, just like you said, what's the east side? Like the lake? I mean, it's more than that. Obviously, if you keep going east, you're going to get to East Chicago, you're going to get to Indiana. I mean, that's as far as you get. Once you get to the border, like towards Indiana, you got Commercial, you got, it's not even like just black people no worse. It's all races of people. And then you're like, oh, what is this? And then you got the river, you got the fisheries. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff over there actually on the east side. It's actually kind of lit.
There are fisheries?
Oh,
you
yeah.
You got the fishery, Calumet Fisheries.
Oh. Yeah, one of the fly spots to eat, really, right?
Really is.
Hmm. What kind of fish?
A lot everything, of fried. Everything fried. Right? I mean, pretty much everything fried.
Yeah, any type of fish you want, actually.
Yeah. No, it's good.
From the river? Or just
Some of it's from the lake.
Yeah.
Lake?
Yeah. A lot of fresh fish. But also, I think they bring stuff in, too, you know?
Yeah, imports.
So all right, so your dad coached you in hoops and Little League. First of all,
baseball.
Oh, but you played hoops, too, or not?
I played hoops, yeah. My brother was more a player hoops, though.
Is he nice,
brother.
Though?
Right.
But is me nice, though?
Yeah.
Bro, you don't even see me in these hoops, bro. You can
oh,
go
really?
To the Y.
We can go to the Y. Right. I mean, I'm asking for his benefit.
I just want to know. That's one of the prominent questions in the corner store is, are you nice?
Pretty nice. Everybody don't expect me, but man, he don't even be doing nothing. Then I would just pop out of nowhere, like with the D, and then like come out of nowhere with the jumper, and they like, what the, like, Yeah, I can. I just do it when I try to, though.
You know? That's what's up.
Yeah.
Charlie, I want to let you know, I played over the Thanksgiving holiday. I played hoops with my niece and my nephew, who are 7 and 10, accordingly, with my brother, and I smoked them all. I just want to let you know that.
Wow, yeah, you the smoked seven, a yeah, 7-year-old yeah, yeah, yeah. I threw, a 9-year-old?
Yeah,
good for you.
I threw the shit to the other side of the gym.
Do you feel good?
Yeah, yeah. I did, because I wanted to let them know if they come in the lane, they will get took.
Wow.
That's the kind of uncle I am.
Wow, the worst uncle.
Maybe, quite possibly.
That's the greatest, man. Come at him, man.
Now, Tate. What do or did your folks do coming up?
What did they do?
Yeah.
I think my mom wanted to like do some music stuff, and my dad was definitely into like a bunch of house, and that was he always told me when I was coming up, like, honestly, like, especially how parents are, like, nowadays, like, they wouldn't even, like, let me, like, make music, really. He just said, like, he messed with it because, you know, he understood house music, so he understood the derivative of what footwork is. So he was like, yeah, that's why I let you do that. But, like, they didn't really do too much. I mean, he fixed cars. My mom, like, all while I was growing up, she was just working in mortgage and home loans and stuff. So, yeah.
But they helped to expose you to some of Chicago's dance music scene?
They definitely helped expose me to a bunch. I would say they exposed me to a lot of more rap that they used to listen to more. That's really what I would thank them for more. I mean, the Chicago music, like, dancing, I kind of found that upon my own. I just used to watch Apollo with my mom. It was, like, the most I used to do. She used to take me to, like, commercial tryouts and, like, talent shows and different stuff like that. Well, I would perform songs and stuff, but, like, I really didn't know nothing about
that. You perform songs?
Yeah, like.
What does that mean?
I really don't want to talk about it, but I used to perform, like, I was like 4 years old, and I was performing like Wild West, like Will Smith, like at a family reunion. Like,
do you have a dance or anything?
I don't know. We gotta see a video. I hope my mama will ever. I hope I never hear this.
So how did you then? I mean, that's your foray early on into music. You had a lot of music in the home. What were your parents listening to, and what grabbed your attention early on?
It was a bunch of older stuff, like a bunch of, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire era stuff, to where I kind of went out and found a bunch of stuff on my own. That's when I started hearing footwork and then realized the samples was all, like, my mom didn't listen to this, but here's this, who could I say, like, Minnie Riperton or someone like that. This is, like, old, like, really just old soulful stuff where I'm like, oh, I didn't really hear this. Or, like, old rap, like, Ghetto Boys and, you know, Scarface. It's everything of that nature. My dad used to, like, have a bunch of old schools. He used to blast all that stuff and be making his car. So that's what I would be hearing a lot.
Mm, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when did you, I mean, so, and when did you, how did you get exposed to footwork, juke music, stuff like that? How'd that come about?
It's like, it's a weird story, especially how, like, me and my friend Desmond, who does a lot of videographer work in Chicago now, he found, like, this CD, I guess, at his elementary school. I forgot what it was called,
but it was like a Bud Billiken tape.
It was like a Bud Billiken, like, parade tape, and I found that out, like, 10 years later.
Ouch.
Just because I remember what track it was. Like, it was an old DJ Solo track, and It was called Parade, like Bud Billiken Parade Anthem. I found that out way later, obviously, but it's just I didn't know what style of music this was that I was hearing, and at the time I was like, what's going on? I just put it in my DVD player. I was like, what's going on right now? I don't really get it. But then maybe like a year or two later, went to school, and everybody was just like footworking in the hallways. I would DJ in a couple of parties when I first started, just making rap beats and DJing rap parties and stuff. I would get asked to like play a couple juke songs, and like I knew about it at that point, but then like once I start seeing people footwork, I'm like, oh, like, away from everything, I start seeing a different energy of it. Then I start coming out to the real footwork functions.
What was different about the music that you were hearing and the culture that you began to see? What kind of, in your head, what was some of the things that marked the difference between that culture, that style of dance, that music, and the other shit that maybe was also going on at a party or in, you know, pop culture at the time?
I could just tell that, especially in my time when I was growing up, that it was a thing that was kind of like, it was starting to be a losing fad, because no, I wasn't like, you know, a bunch of people in the scene, in the footwork scene nowadays, will like see a bunch of my interviews or hear something like this and be like, oh, he wasn't like that dude footworking back then, back in the day. Like, he wasn't that dude DJing, like, the party, like, the real footwork parties. And it's like, no, I wasn't. You know, I am younger. Yeah, I did come around. But, like, I saw something different, like you said. And that thing, well, I saw it becoming a thing that was kind of starting to die in Chicago because they were starting to see something else that's cool. And already at the time, I was starting to join dance groups, and people was, like, not really with it. Like, nobody was really – everybody was leaving the dance groups when I was trying to get in the dance groups. To be honest, I was all dying out. So,
and what were some of the crews that you were in or wanted to be in, or who were some of the crews that you saw who were popping, who inspired you?
The first crew I tried to join, it was this guy who used to come around us. His name was DJ CeeLo. And he was actually one of the first people who told me and my friend Mouse about, like, Rashad's Spare Tracks and, like, just showed us a couple of their music. But his group was called DMP Damn Near Perfect. And then, like, I tried out for them, didn't make it in, then got in, and then we did a bunch of tagging, got in a parade. And I don't know, I guess the crew, like, disassembled. I don't know what happened. All the crews started, like, falling out, like I said. And then I started, at that point, like, a year later, I got with Ghetto Tex.
Wait, what year is this?
2010. This is, like, because Ghetto Tex is, like, the first name of Tech Life. I'm pretty sure it's been explained that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ghetto Technicians. And,
to say it again.
Yeah, on a previous episode. Yeah. But, yeah. But, that, yeah, which we'll, you know, we'll get into your, is so that's how you kind of began to get ushered into that community, Ghetto Tech, into Tech Life.
Yeah, because then once I started doing that, once I started, like, I just, it was things like MySpace era, 09, 2010. Really, I heard it, I was more so in touch with Rashad over his pages, and then hit him up one time, and he hit me back. I'm like, oh, shit, like, this is real. Like,
well, and how did you know DJ Rashad? Just through the scene? Because he's that dude in Chicago?
Just because he was that dude in Chicago. I just literally hit all his tracks. I ended up just hearing all his tracks and hearing on the internet. I ended up just buying a bunch of them that I couldn't find. I couldn't even get the music at the time. It was only a few tracks he had released over Juke Tracks Online, DJ Godfather's label in Detroit. So I bought what I could from there, and then at that time Facebook, I think I added him, and he hit me back. He said Manny had TOG and everything and Harvey going on the footwork group, and around that time I tried out for the group because they was hosting tryouts, which they usually don't do.
And these are dance tryouts?
No, these were the Ghetto Tex tryouts.
Okay.
Yeah, straight DJ tryouts.
Okay.
So I didn't DJ, I just pulled up with my tracks because, like, I didn't really know how to use 1200s at the time. I didn't know how to work no vinyl.
So, all right, so let's go back a little. So how did you start? Because I'm wondering what came first, or maybe it came at the same time, but did you start to dance? Did you start to produce? How did you, and in terms of, well, yeah, answer that, I guess.
So, it's funny, but, like, when I did come into producing, it was honestly because I heard Soulja Boy was using FL Studio, and I'm like, oh, that's a studio program? Oh, let me go download. And once I had that information, I was 11, 12 years old, I had that information, I'm like, let's go. Let's go. Try to make some beats. Tried it out. I was like, hey, it's kind of fun.
Just how did you around. Understand the concept of even making beats? Were you kind of in tune with other people making? I don't know. You're not like 12,
really.
Right?
Exactly. Not really. Nobody else was really doing it in my school. I mean, like, at that point, I was just now trying to, like, get into, like, the poetry clubs that our school had. Like,
because you went where? You went to
Thornton.
That's right. Thornton.
Yeah. And Harvey.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah, at that point, I don't really know what really made me want to start doing it. I just saw something with it.
But you had been writing already.
I had already been writing before I had started producing. So it was like a weird, like, progression.
Writing what?
It's raps.
Yeah.
It's raps. I was drawing before that, then just started writing.
Mm-hmm. And the evolution of the technology for you, you know, to go from first of all, what computer were you rocking off of when you were 10, 11 years old?
it was a Dell... A Dell, what was it called? Inspirons? Was it Dell Inspiron or was it Compact Inspiron? I don't know. I forgot which. I don't know. Dell Inspiron 1200 or 2400. Something with, like, the lowest crazy, no specs.
These names are hilarious, too.
Inspiron. Like, Inspiron.
Yeah, 2400. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Like, there were not 2400
like
prior.
A robot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They are. Cyborg. They are robots and cyborgs, actually.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
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 Easy 700.
And then when did you know that you were on the right track, so to speak, no pun intended, but when did you know where it clicked for you that, oh, shit, I'm actually beginning to make something that I rock with or somebody I played this for rocks with?
I think it was, like, honestly, like, once I understood, a little bit of expression with music. A little bit more, like, stuff started going on, like, in high school, like, even before footwork. I just started, like, I would be in detention, like, just writing a bunch of raps and just seeing, like, I don't know, just being in my own headspace and always just stuck in my own head and just kind of just sticking like that. Like, you know what, I'm just sticking with, like, what I love, you know? Like, if I like it, then it's not that I don't care if other people like it, but if I put enough energy in it to like it, then I think other people will, too, you know?
Yeah. What kind of kid were you in high school? I mean, you just said you were in detention, so I don't know if you were there often or that's goofy. One time.
So I was in detention for, like, goofy stuff. I wasn't, like a class clown or nothing, but I was in detention for, like, the goofiest, like, parameters of anything you could ever think of. Like, some group stuff would happen in a class, and, like, everybody would get sent out, but for some reason I'd be that one dude, like, in the office, or, like, I'll put someone to sit in front of me, I'll put, like, a slip on somebody's, like, shoulder, and then it'll fall, and then my teacher said, "Get out." And I just be like, "Wait, okay.
Damn.
Peace."
And at what point do people in your school know that you had this, you know, burgeoning creative expression? Did folks know, or did
bro? You're gonna laugh when I say this. It happened, like, it was literally like while we're graduating. It's like, "Oh yeah, yeah." That's what everybody would have talked to me. Like, I used to be that kid, like, "Oh, you're lame, you don't talk to nobody." Like, nah.
Your impersonation of your high school peers is hilarious.
Just like, I just hear the same thing, like, all day.
Yeah.
So it's just
so
like,
they were like, "Oh, you make music, like, while you're walking in your graduation."
You were handing out your mixtapes. You're, yeah, like, "Hey,
right?
Listen."
With the diploma.
Yeah, like, right.
I could have, man.
You get this.
I could have, man. They just all, I used to be late to class, like, senior year, because I was, like, literally at home, like, making tracks. It's so funny. I thought about it.
Wait, so for your tryout to Ghetto Techs, you brought your own things you produced?
I just brought my own music, yeah. And it was honestly just one track that Rashada's been really liked.
Yeah.
It was one track they really liked. Like, I think if I didn't make this one track, that, like, all my best friends that even showed me footwork, if I didn't make this one track that they hated, I would never.
Oh, they hated it?
They hated it.
Your friends.
My friends were like, "This is the weakest track. I don't know why you made this." When I first, it was like, "This is just the stupidest thing. I don't know why you made this." I was like,
"That's not very constructive." Are they telling you why?
They just was hating, and then took it to the tryouts. Everybody was like, "This cool." Everybody was like, "Whoop!" Rashad looked at everybody was like, "What you think?" And they were like, "Yeah." And I'm like,
based off of that one track,
honestly.
Were your friends just not listening to footwork music, or
They do. They were just haters.
First of all, has that track seen the light of day?
I play it a lot. I didn't get to release. I was thinking about releasing. It's only because it's Yay. So it's like a Yay sample. It's, "We don't want to hear that weak ish no more."
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. Let that go on SoundCloud or something.
Yeah, you gotta go on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
You gotta be released somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, you really should.
Put it's so old and ugly. I'm literally 15 years old on the track.
Yeah. Or you could, like, you know, once you want, like, next album, you could put it, like, three albums from now, you put it out, like, at the last track of the record, like, first song, like Jay or something like that.
Yeah. You gotta put it out there, though.
Eventually.
I have to at some point.
So, all right. You got you got invited to be a part of that group. What did that mean to you at that time? I feel like that's a, you know, superhero clique.
Monumental.
It was.
Yeah. And then you're getting invited in. What did that mean? And what did you think about that?
I mean, it was like life changing to me, you know, because, like, I already been looking up to them for, like, just a couple years and just being like, "Oh, this already, like, formulated a whole style within me." And, like, even a way of thinking, like, it pulled me out of, like, stuff at school. It just kept me out of stuff. Like, I would just keep my headphones on wherever, whenever, get my work done, and just, like, not even really talk to nobody. And it was really just, like, those beats. Like, if anything, like, I would listen to rap stuff all the time, but it was really, like, those tracks, not even footwork, and just listening to it. So at that point, it was, like, groundbreaking and monumental, and, like, that could be the main thing that really gave me a lot of spark musically.
What was it about it that caught your ear?
It's that ethereal stuff,
yeah.
You know. It's called.
He be playing shit that I just, like, can't, like. It makes me space out.
You hear it in his music. Yeah, you hear it in his music.
Yeah,
which is the background.
Like, but it's okay because there are words and it, like, grounds me. If I don't feel grounded in something, I'm just, like, floating.
But for me, I mean, one
that's the part I like,
and yeah. I agree, and I think one of my favorite my favorite tracks on Still Trippin' are a lot of just the instrumentals that get spacey like that. The first track.
But see, I think those.
So what is it about?
It's a really
particular. Those are ethereal to me.
I know, but it's like really particular beats or like trance music or like techno. I can't do stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, like pure.
But that's why I like the rapidity of the juke beat, because it keeps you, I think, rooted in the
fuller.
Earth.
It's
yeah,
fuller.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I love this conversation right now, because this is exactly why I made a track like 2094.
Thank you.
To where it's like super smooth. To where like I was pretty leaned out. Not pretty like I was in space in a spaceship at that time. And then on the Matrix, it's like. I was pretty rolled out, so it was like I was kind of going crazy in my mind. So it was like she probably would be like, "What is this? This sounds like a crackhead's like the sport diaspora. Like this is not right. This is not right. This is
crackhead's diaspora.
I don't ever want to see that or experience that or keep that away from me. Ain't no crackhead's diaspora here. Okay,
I hope not.
Put that on a track.
I hope not. She wouldn't like that.
No one. I mean, well. Crackheads would like that, but listen, I mean,
some people like crackheads. I don't know.
Some people do. Some people
maybe they are also crackheads.
We're off, and let's get to the record. But talk a little, Tay. Talk a little about who DJ Rashad is and your relationship to him.
DJ Rashad is the person that you would. Call the figurehead of footwork to me from the 90s, from the moves that he helped motivate like into the craft period, the tracks that he helped make and the way that they changed music, not even touring the world, like since 98 I could say they've been legends, like hands down is untouchable music, and it's gotta be like the most. It's hard to even put it in words nowadays, because like now when I think about it, it's just like always an instant thought that like it gotta be, I don't know, we need a museum, we need like a footwork museum on the south side, we need something crazy.
That's I can't go that's yeah. That's really real,
like, and this is what I, this is the type of stuff in my mind, like
no I think put it out there, because I think you're right and I think it will come, and I think we should all be, you know, we should all demand and encourage that happens for this city. And then Tech Life. Let's talk about the tradition, the transition from Ghetto Tech to Tech Life, and what that crew has meant to you as well.
Ghetto Tech to Tech Life was like a world. It was like more like making a world renowned brand, and something that they could take from Chicago to the forefronts of places like Japan's dance floors to LA to Berlin to London, because it's something bigger than just ghetto technicians at work. You know, we got a lifestyle that now people are, they hear this ethereal spacey music that's getting them all tripped out, and they getting, you know, really attached to it, and it's becoming another piece of a genre.
And what is the lifestyle?
It's the footwork lifestyle first. It's gonna be the it's 160 lifestyle, because that's just what it is, that's just is what the speed is. But it's gonna be lifestyle, always gonna have to be ground bacon, next level. If they ain't gonna get it, they ain't gonna get it, but the people who get it. If you know what that means. Kevin, do you know what that means?
I feel like I do know what it means.
I feel like what it means, but I feel like Tara's like, what is he even saying? He's just coasting this one.
No, I feel seen and spoken to be honest. You know what I mean?
All right. Nobody's seeing or speaking to me. That's fine.
Tara, I am. Hi.
I spoke.
You good?
Hey. Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Tara feels ganged up upon.
Okay.
All right. Tara, we love you.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right? What you got to say, Tara?
Yeah, I got shit to say.
Damn.
No, you have so much to say.
I have everything, but also not right now.
Well, all right. So I would love to talk about the record, Still Trippin'. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about how long it was in the making, and I want to talk a little about what's on the record.
Yes, I have a lot to say about that.
Please.
Steve Goodman, Code 9. Asked me to make the record, asked for it first day of 2016. honestly, I had it done first day of 2016, first day of 2015. I had it done around summer of 2016. Computers got stolen.
With all of the music on it?
Yeah, I had to recreate everything. Honestly, I remade what was my first forward video, Burning Your Boy. I had to remake that from scratch from that old stolen computer.
Oh, I love that video.
Wow.
Such a good video.
Thank you. I had to remake that song from scratch.
Damn.
Then Trippin', I remade that from scratch. The beat. Because I hadn't put the words in yet. It was just a beat at the time. With the little sample, but all that it took like a whole turning course within itself. Like literally, like the morning it got stolen, Cold hit me up like, "Yo, what's up with the album? Here's the track list of what I want." And I'm like, "That's not happening." So I had to reflip a whole thing, and honestly, I'm glad that it happened because it made me like recreate it in a whole different way that I see that I needed to take it because of the way that my life was turning routes. You know, it was different stuff, and I was just like, glad to like get out of certain situations and like, you know, still make it out and still be able to be making music.
Well, what was going on? What was changing
just,
in your life?
Just stuff around where I'm from in Harvey, and like just people and like not really wanting to be around those people, you know, because they just people or all your life, they think that like you Boosie, a bunch of people say it best. People all your life, like wherever you're from, they just think that you got it all the time. Like even when you don't even got it yet, you know what I'm saying, you've been around. Stuff like that. So you just get plotted on. It's just little stupid stuff like that where you gotta like remove yourself from situations and just be the bigger person, because it's not about that. Like always retaliating like the hot boy and like, you know, just
you, doing that's all that something crazy that's stuff. Something that like is you know, that you struggle with, I would say, right? I mean, like kind of the haters or, you know, from, you know, I feel like you feel like you get a lot of negative attention,
mm-hmm.
and people who are trying to get at you. Why do you feel like that is?
I don't know. It always seems like some fake love, like in the face, like for some.
Shout out Drake.
Shout out Drake for that.
Yeah,
I guess I can't lie about that.
Yeah, no, I trust that. Me. I sing that song like it's my personal anthem too. So
wait, don't trip.
Fake love. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
True.
Fake
yeah,
love.
Yeah. Straight up to my face. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel you.
But people try to like come up and like, I don't know, like put up this facade like for whatever they can get for the certain, you know, moment or whatever they need. But then like later, it's just always something that I'm just hearing about. Something about me, a different perception about me that I didn't know that everybody had about me, you know? So it's like, okay. It's in the mind, but you know, I'm not hearing it. I just keep what I know in my mind.
Well, you know, the work stands. And so it's hard. Right. I mean, I'm curious as to what, you know, your thoughts are on this record. I mean, for real, this is, I think, when we talk about, you know, when we talk about the records of 2018, Still Trippin' has to be in the conversation. And I know, mm-hmm. Tara, you have a lot to say about these kinds of things.
Well, I've been listening to Double Cup a lot again, and I think like there's a fair comparison to make between them, or the, you know, similarities of how Rashad was pushing like the sound of footwork, and you do the same with, you know, melding different genres and how you rap and stuff. Mm-hmm. Were you always rapping over your? I mean, you always kind of did that, right?
I always rapped over my stuff, but I never really tried it like over like some faster like 160 stuff. Like not really. Like the way I took the route with this album was like took some sitting down and like kind of like putting it together. Even from what it was, from what it is, it's like it's less than like what was actually written and what could actually be put into it, you know, because of like how much crazy stuff and how much footwork it is, you know, to even be able to fit it though.
Right, you have to kind of leave language out because there's actually less space for language because the BPM is so high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can't shorten every syllable, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what was the purpose of blending so many different genres? Because you have like Baltimore club and Jersey club and
right
rap and, you know, R&B and obviously footwork. So
right, no jungles and break beats and all those crazy types of natures, because I guess to appeal to everything that I've seen, like even in the few years of span that I've been touring, just putting all those influences all into one bottle of everything that I could after the computer got stolen. Just like, man, what else could I do but just take all these experiences into one thing? From going to LA so many times, to sit in Berlin, going to Asia once, just all of, everything that they was influenced by, it made me redevelop my style in a different way.
Are you talking about after you got it stolen, or this was just
like during while I got it stolen, like after, because after this is when I started like writing all the raps and decided to like take it that route. I really was gonna like finish the album. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna hear me rap. Let me just go ahead and put it up. But then like something just kept telling me just do it after it got stolen. It just seemed like a bigger cause and effort to do it.
Well, and now that the record's out, I mean, you mentioned this travel, but I feel like you are really out of, you've been out of here. Like, you've been, you know, if you're following your IG, you know, you stay in London, in Berlin, traveling really the world with the music. And so what has the experience been since the reception of this record, receiving critical and popular praise, and then, you know, basically you having these opportunities open up around the planet?
It's been pretty good. It's been a really dope reception, and dope to see people open upon it and open to see that was my goal, to keep pushing along just as I wish I was. And that was our goal, and like the conversations we were having, and I was just seeing like a bigger vision, you know, just conversations I used to have before he passed. I just want to keep pushing, and I'm just glad everybody reciprocated my message the right way, and that I could keep, it's good feedback, so I can keep pushing and keep making more music so we can keep elevating it how people wanted it to be.
Well, what was the conversations you guys had before he passed?
It wouldn't be like nothing like too crazy. It'd just be like, you know, just on the scene at the current state of what it was, and like what we could do to like move around and keep moving. We was gonna go to Vegas. We was just gonna like position ourselves in different places, and like, you know, just really like sit in the background and just like make music. And we was just talking about like the current scene everywhere. He just told me like it's cracking, like just to focus on it. So it's just like, that's all I could really do, is I can never lose focus on like what the true vision is of not just footwork, but just like Tech Life's vision, like core motive for music, period. It's like, it doesn't have to be like just that. He already said that. It doesn't have to be just that. We can do more. So I always wanted to keep going with it.
True indeed. And now, are you, can people expect more and new music from you soon?
Yeah, I'm finishing my next record for Hyperdub. Me and PayPal finishing this little collab record. Got a mixtape I'm working on right now. Yeah, so I'm working on like three different projects right now.
Dope. We can expect these in 2019.
Yeah, expect these all in like the next 3 months.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah.
And I know people could find Still Tripping everywhere. Where can people find you on the internet?
At DJ Tay, Twitter, DJ Tay Vivo, YouTube, DJ Tay Tech Life, Instagram, DJ Tay Facebook.
True.
Yeah.
Tara, for real, this is Still Tripping is one of my favorite records of the year. And Tay, I'm so glad that you are getting some of the attention that you deserve. And I just, you know, both of us are big fans and wish you all the success in the future, and hope that you will always stay in the Chicagoland area, even as you like get multiple stamps in your passport. You know, just stay rooted and stay doing what you are doing, because you're putting on for the culture and you're putting on for the city, and it's really important. So thank you for the work, man.
I do. Thank y'all for having me.
Yo, we want to thank DJ Exist for the beat.
Langston Olsen for the art.
Big ups, Todd Manley at WGN Radio.
And Max and Dami, the Corner Store interns.
Salutes to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
You can keep in tune with the Corner Store at Corner_Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
Also, you can stream and download the Corner Store wherever you listen to podcasts.
And please rate and subscribe and comment on iTunes.
Please, y'all, consider giving us those 5 stars.
Thank you for listening.
We're going to see you next week.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.